This is Dr. Don Cowan coming to you from South Central Washington State, in the especially from the Yakima Indian Reservation. And I just wish you an excellent Easter weekend, or some of you might call it something other than that, maybe Resurrection Weekend. And, of course, this is the time of year that that probably most people, if they go to church just once a year, they might go that now, or other than now, it would be Christmas time. And I would encourage everybody to go to church tomorrow. And there are so many good churches out there. There's some that aren't so good, but most of them are good. And we've been speaking lately from the book of John, and we've been going just generally through it, but I think today we'll jump way ahead towards the end, just because that deals more with this time of year, with the death, crucifixion of Jesus, and raising from the dead. But I'm not sure just how far we'll go, but we're going to start actually before that, because John has a whole lot about recording about Jesus just before, during the time of the Last Supper, and what he was speaking to his disciples then, the prayer he prayed before them to his Heavenly Father for himself and for the disciples, but it wasn't restricted only to them then. It was also that for all of us that would believe on the name of Jesus. So it was for everybody that would come thousands of years later. So I'm going to start, if you're familiar with the Bible at all, the New Testament is the last fourth of it. And it starts out with four Gospels. Gospel means good news, but that's sort of a weak translation, is just saying it's good news. Gospel really meant even more than that. It was a much more forceful word. And the translators used a weaker translation most of the time, just saying gospel or good news, but it was actually good news was something that the word came most of the times that's translated gospel is really evangelize or tell the good news. So it wasn't something that you kept to yourself. If you have something real good in your life, you want to tell other people about it. And if something good happened to you today, you want to share it with somebody that you care about. And so that's really what the gospel is. It's something that is good news, but it's so much good news in your heart that you can't keep it in. And so it's something to tell others about. Now, where I'm going to start is chapter 15. That's just a little bit early, but I don't know how far we'll be able to get to go tonight, but we might go a little bit longer than normal, just because there isn't a program following this, and we'll just see how far we get, or until my if my voice gives up. I just want to pray for everybody right now, for you that are listening, and for Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name. We ask your divine blessing upon every single one of these wonderful people listening to late night live talk show BBS, and we just ask your blessing on them to, and that especially that they might receive your life in them, and come to know you as the Lord and Savior of their lives. It just so radically will change their lives that it'll be such a huge blessing that if they were blessed before, that they will be blessed now much more, and that if they were under a curse before, that the curse might be taken off of them, that they in turn might be blessed and become a blessing to others. And we just pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Chapter 15, John is the fourth book in the New Testament, and the first three are very quite similar. They're telling the story of Jesus more in a way of reporting just the facts. But John has does that, but it does it in a different way. It shows how is the relationship between him and God the Father and the Holy Spirit, and how that everything that was created through him. In chapter 15, verse 1, it says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." Well, that's pretty natural to me. I live out here in the middle of an apple orchard, and we've got apples out here, and that's the important thing. Apple trees can grow on their own, but they're going to not have the best fruit because it takes a special type of pruning to protect the tree. So as it grows older, that it won't split apart, and also just that it produces good fruit that isn't all banged up and everything. The special ways to prune the tree so it has quality fruit. And so he's talking about a vineyard. It takes that for a vineyard or for trees or whatever. They need to be pruned. And they can still produce without being that, but they're not going to have their full potential. That's just like us. We're not going to come any place near our full potential unless Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and we have to allow him to prune us. The Bible talks about not grieving the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit is the one sent to teach us about him, to draw us to him, God the Father, our Creator, and also the one that works with us with all the cruddy stuff in our lives from time to time. And it says that the Holy Spirit comes to change us from glory to glory into the image of Jesus Christ. And so some of that pruning it hurts, you know, but we want some things taken away. We may not like it at the time, but it's a good thing it happens, because if it didn't happen, we wouldn't be nearly as good quality as if he goes ahead and prunes us and it hurts some. So we just we're supposed to thank God in every circumstance. That doesn't mean for the circumstance, because some things are certainly not from God. And it says that every good and perfect gift comes down from the heaven, from God, our Father in heaven. It talks about Satan or the thief coming to steal, kill, and destroy. We know that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to kill us. He wants to steal from us. He wants to destroy us and destroy our relationships. And we don't want that. So let's go to the one that loves us, which is Jesus Christ. Okay. We've come here that we need some pruning. He says that every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Can you imagine a branch? It doesn't produce anything. But when it's attached to the tree, Well, the sap's going through it. The life is going through it. It can produce blossoms, it can produce the leaves, and then it can produce the full fruit in its season. But you cut it off, the main vine, it's useless. It just needs to be burned up. And so we want to be tied into God. Otherwise, if we're trying to do things on our own, we're useless and we're not going to produce good fruit. And it's just something that needs to be thrown away and burned. Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. You want to be disciple of your Creator? Yes, I do. So his purpose for us is really that we might have dominion. You see, when he set Adam here, we were supposed to have dominion not over other people, but over this earth. We're supposed to take good care of it. We're supposed to be a blessing to it and create. You see, everything that's created, is, as far as anything good, it was already in the mind of God. We finally got just touched in with it, and then we start doing those things, being able to create and use those things, because he has created us in his image. It says here that we are supposed to bear much fruit, not just a little fruit, but much fruit. And it says that way we're his disciples. Well, we have to be sure it's good fruit, that it's something that comes from him, that so you see, we're supposed to abide in him, and he will abide in us. We are supposed to have his words abide in us. So how do we get his words? Well, we go to the Bible. We go into the New Testament, and we find what he has to say. And we get his words in us. And so let's go on to the next verse, which is verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. You see, God wants you to have a joyous life. That joy is when we are connected to him, to our Creator. And you see, that his joy may remain in you. It's not just to come and then go. It's not like fleeting happiness or something like that. This is a deep, abiding joy that's going to bring happiness too, but a joy is something deep. It's coming from our Creator, and that's because that's when we are connected with him. This is my commandment, Jesus is saying, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Uh-oh, did you hear that? There's a limitation there. It says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Well, he loves us. And so he's only going to command us to do things that is going to draw us near to him, to bring us into that fullness of joy that he wants for us. You see, the intention of him for you and for me is goodness. He wants to truly, like the Old Testament says, that he wants goodness and mercy to follow you all the days of your life. Well, we need to come to him and see what he wants. And, you know, you can't change yourself. You can change a certain amount of yourself, but you need help. I need help. Well, the first thing you need to do is ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life. You need to ask him to come in. You say, Father, forgive my sins. That's the first thing. You see, you're some of those wonderful people listening to BBS radio right now, and you're either one of two different types of people. You're either one that's already saved or one who's about to be saved. Now repeat this after me. Father, forgive my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Thank you for saving me. If you prayed that with me, and you believed it in the heart, your heart, then there's been an eternal change in you that started right now. Now, where's Jesus right now? What did you ask? You asked him to come into your heart. And if you spoke that, you see, the salvation comes, two things are necessary. You have to believe in your heart, the Bible says, and confess with your mouth. So, let's repeat that just one more time, but we just pray it from our heart. Father, forgive my sins. Jesus, you come into my heart. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for saving me. Bless you. Bless you if you just prayed that prayer for the first time. In fact, if you did, I would encourage you to get some pencil and paper later in the show. I'll just give you an address, and if this is the first time you've asked Jesus to come into your life, I've got a book or maybe even two that I'd be glad to send you, and they're not little books; they're over 200 pages apiece, and so it should be a real blessing to you, and I hope you take advantage of it. In fact, I'll give you the address right now, and then I'll try to remember to repeat it at the end of the show. Just write to Dr. Don Cowan, or you can go by Global Redeeming Ministries, and it's P.O. Box 90, and the city is Parker, P-A-R-K-E-R, Parker, Washington. That's just W-A for Washington. And the zip code out here is 98939. 98939. That's P.O. Box 90. Okay, let's continue on. It says, a greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. And remember, there's lots of things that we may not want to do, but, you know, he knows what will fulfill us and give us real joy. And we've been trying to do things on our own for a long time, and we keep seeing in the sun, I did it my way. Well, when we just do it our way, there's a problem. You're not going to find the fullness of joy if you're just doing it your way, or if I just do it my way. We find the fullness of joy when we do it his way. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, that he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. You know, I just mentioned a few verses ago, love one another. Here he is saying it again. if you have animosity towards somebody, and it may be very, very, very legitimate, but if you're holding it, it's keeping you in a prison. You're the one that's now taking on a curse. You've been perhaps cursing somebody else, but yet when you're doing that, that curse is coming on you as well, and it's giving you, keeping you in prison. You know, I minister in prisons here on a weekly basis, and I've already done it twice this week. I'm doing it two more times tomorrow, and then on Monday and Tuesday, going back in again. And, you know, there's lots of people on the outside that are in as much or more of a prison than several of the people on the inside of the prison. And so we need to love one another, turn loose of that resentment and bitterness. And it's maybe totally unjustifiable, but we need to forgive them. And the, one of the good reasons, an excellent reason, if you want to be forgiven by God, and you're not, well, I understand from the Bible, if we do not forgive others, we are not going to be forgiven by God, our Creator, and we're going to be separated from Him for all eternity unless we forgive others. Well, you may say that that's impossible. Well, then ask Him. Tell Him that. Say that it seems impossible for me to forgive this person. I'm going to say it with my mouth that I forgive him. But I ask you, Father, I ask you, Jesus, to work in my heart so I can forgive him, that in my heart I'm going to go ahead and declare it with my mouth, and I ask you to change my heart to the place where it can also be changed in my heart, that I can turn around and bless him. You know, one of the best things you can possibly do, that is, if you have animosity towards somebody, start praying for them. Not that a curse comes on them, but that blessings come on him. And you realize the Bible says that if you pray blessings on them, you that's going to bless you too. And there's another thing is that we understand from one of the scriptures in the Bible, if we pray, if there's a curse placed on somebody, it's not totally deserved. They'll come back on the person that says it. And so we don't want the curses coming back on us. So there's two good reasons that you want to turn loose things, because you're basically cursing yourself when you're cursing others. So we just we want you set free. We want the life of God come into you. And we want you in relationship with your Heavenly Father and with Jesus Christ, because you don't want to leave Earth this lifetime and not be in right relationship with your Creator. Because if you are that way, you will be separated from Him for all eternity. And God came, became a man, Jesus Christ, so that you might be made one with God and one with His Son. And so that's the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. He's right now speaking to you to draw you closer. Listen to Him. These words that I'm saying are just empty words, except by the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit, they're there to draw you closer to Him, to draw you into fellowship with Him, to save you. Let's go on. It's up to verse 18 now in chapter 15 of John. The world hates you. You know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Now who is he talking to? He's talking to his disciples. Now hopefully, you and I, everybody that's listening, they're disciples. And if you're not, it's time to become. As I said earlier, you're either one that's saved or one that's about to be saved. So I trust you come right along. It says, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they'll also persecute you. If they keep my word, they will keep yours also. So he's not, even though he's promised you fullness of joy, he isn't promising you that everybody's going to like you. Well, of course not. Sometimes people see righteousness and holiness, and all of a sudden, they are convicted of their own sin, and because they're convicted of their own sin, they may very well react to you in a bad way and curse you. But you're not dependent upon what they believe. You see, we don't want to be men pleasers. We want to be God pleasers. But part of being a God pleaser is to love men, whether they love us or not. Okay, let's go on. Verse 21, but all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now that they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates the Father also. What's this? This is saying that whoever hates Jesus Christ hates the Creator, the Father of Jesus Christ. The one that between the two of them, they created everything there was that was created. See, the intention, according to the Word of God, was God the Father was the Creator, but everything came into existence through Jesus Christ, through Him speaking the Word and declaring it. And that's how what some people might call the Big Bang or whatever they want to call the creation, but it was a creation, and it's very obvious from astronomers now believe. There's been a huge change in astronomers over the last 10, 15 years. And also the people that in so many different sciences at the very highest levels, not the ones that just have a doctorate or a master's or something, but the very highest ones, they're doing research because they realize that there's so much as far as everything so precise, and that there's so many things in astronomy that they have found out, and that they've come to a place that they know there's a creator someplace. They may not call him Jesus Christ, but they have gone away from their place of being agnostics and atheist. They might be still sort of transitioning from agnostic to what sort of a God, whether it's a deist or a personal God, but they are into the place that they have moved dramatically to the place of the knowledge of there's a creator. So let's go on again. And it says, he who hates me, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. And that's what happened to Jesus. There was many that received him. But then also, especially the religious leaders at the time, hated Jesus. I mean, he was doing all these miracles. And they were so concerned that the whole world would follow him. They even said that and declared that the whole world were coming to them, to Jesus Christ. But yet, they were determined that they were going to do something about that. They were afraid that that they would lose their power, and also that they were afraid of Rome, that Rome might come and destroy them. So they decided that they were going to kill this person, Jesus Christ. And so they hated it, just as Jesus said, foretold. He says, they hated me without a cause. Well, with a cause, he was doing all these miracles. And everybody recognized these miracles had never happened. The miracles in the Old Testament that were happening were great miracles, but there are so many other miracles that had never happened before. And there was no recording of anything like so many of them. And there's hundreds and thousands of them. Now, John only records seven main miracles. But if you go through the reading, you realize there's a whole lot more. He pulls out seven. But Matthew records so many, 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 many more. In fact, sometimes he's talking about thousands of people coming and that every single one of them got healed. And it didn't depend on whether they were Jews or not. It was saying that the Syrians were coming down from Damascus and other people from other areas. And so it didn't matter whether they were Jews or Samaritans or people that were considered even dogs or whatever, that whoever believed and came to him, they were healed because they just believed his word and they received their healing. Let's go on. Verse 26, it says, but when the Helper comes, and he's talking about the Holy Spirit now, and he was going to send the Holy Spirit not to just come and just be with people for a short period of time, but to reside and come into them. You see, when Jesus was here, you had to be around Jesus because the Holy Spirit was not yet sent. But you see, after he was died and resurrected, in the upper room, he spoke to the disciples, and he breathed on them, and they received the Spirit. But then that wasn't enough. He said, now you go. This is just before he ascended into heaven. He said, now you go and tarry in Jerusalem and wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's what this is. It says, when the Helper comes. Well, the Helper comes to that you might not just have the Holy Spirit in you, but then also we're not supposed to quench the Holy Spirit. We're not supposed to grieve the Holy Spirit. Often we all do from time to time, but we need to be careful that we do the best we can to not openly reject the Word of God or the workings of God in other people's lives or in our own. We want to have the Helper to come. We don't want to, when someone comes to help us, we don't say, we don't want you, or I'm too busy, or I'm too mad at this person right now. I don't want you to come around and give me a good heart towards them because I just enjoy being mad at them. Well, that's crazy, but that's what we are. We are often crazy people sometimes, and that's not not what our Creator wants. He wants us to be filled with joy, and if we're in a stew about somebody else or something that's happened or even about ourselves, that we are upset with ourselves because we have not accomplished what we have desired and to fulfill, then there's a problem there. We want Jesus in our lives to allow the Holy Spirit to come in to change us from glory to glory into the image of Jesus Christ. And that's what he said that the Holy Spirit was for. That was to allow us to come to God. We can't come to God except by the Holy Spirit. He's also the one that if you're just reading the scripture and it's just dead stuff to you, that it's just like reading another book, then you need to pray and ask for the Holy Spirit to come in you and to open up the scriptures so that life comes out of it into you. And so maybe in the years past that you've often or occasionally picked up the Bible and you saw a few good things in there, but you need to ask him to come in to open up the scripture to you that it come alive. Well, to have it come alive, you need Jesus in your life. You need to ask Jesus to come in you and that his Holy Spirit come in you so that the Word of God comes alive to you and that you can receive the power that's in there. It's not a dead history book. There's power. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. There's power through the Holy Spirit that will change your life, that will heal and resurrect people, that will resurrect them from their lousy, mediocre life, and also literally heal people from cancer and from other sicknesses. That is the power of God. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. And God wants that in you to set you free. He also wants to go beyond that. He wants you so filled with the Holy Spirit that you can minister that life-saving power to other people as well. He wants you so blessed that you become a blessing in this earth, that the glory of God might be known throughout the whole earth because of the work he's doing in you and other people. So come, be a part of it. Come and ask God to forgive you of your sins. Ask Jesus to come into your heart. Ask him to make you the kind of person that he wants you to be, not what you want to be. And then be sure to be grateful, to thank him for saving you. Where is Jesus right now? If you do all that, he's in your heart. Okay, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you will also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. These things I have spoken to you, that, this is, I'm now in chapter 16, these things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I say, did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. So he's telling me these things because Jesus is going to leave. He's going to die, be resurrected, come back and spend 40 days with them, and then leave again, and say, but promises that they're going to be sent the Holy Spirit 10 days after he left, after that 40 days being with them. Okay, verse 5, it says, but now I go away to him who sent me. He's talking about Jesus going away to God the Father. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Did you know there's judgment too? You know, we've been saying all these wonderful things, being filled with joy, but then you also notice that they were you're likely to be persecuted from time to time, and some countries you'd be killed. Because some people really hate good news if it's coming from God in the name of Jesus Christ. So, but also it says, convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Yes, judgment is coming. And if you are right with your Creator, and the only way to be right with your Creator is that you've asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. And then you're right with your Creator, your Jesus, and the Heavenly Father, and the Holy Spirit will come into you, and your life will change. Now, it says that we are become a new creation when Jesus comes into our life. Well, that's true. But then also it takes time. Not salvation doesn't take time. depends what type of salvation you're talking about. As far as salvation, eternal salvation, it doesn't take time. It's a matter of instantaneous thing. But the salvation being worked out in your life, that takes time. Because we are changed from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory into the image of Jesus Christ. It takes time. The Bible tells us that do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world, but renew your mind. We are to renew our mind. So how do we renew it? Well, we get the words of Jesus in us. That's how we renew it. We get the words of God in us. This is a good place right here in this Gospel of John. There's hundreds of other places in this Bible that you get the Word of God in you. And that renews your mind. There's another place in the Bible that says that we need to put on armor. Put on the whole armor of God. Because we have to face darkness and wickedness and principalities and powers of darkness and demonic forces. Well, how do you do that? Well, you do it with the Word of God. You put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the girded belt with truth, putting on the gospel of peace for your shoes, taking up the shield of faith and taking the sword of the Spirit. See, you put on all this armor. Now, almost all the armor is defensive. The only thing that is offensive is the sword of the Spirit. And you use the sword for both defense and offense, partly to block incoming shots, but also to fight with. But we need the shield of faith. Sometimes, you know, faith, the Bible says it's impossible. Impossible to please God without faith. If you want to be like Thomas, he says, Thomas, of course, was the one disciple that said after the resurrection, said, I'm not going to believe unless I see him and stick my hand in the holes in his hands and able to put my hand in his side where the spear went through his side. I'm not going to believe. Well, Jesus then appeared to Thomas the next week and of course with the other disciples there and he said, "Oh my Lord and my God." Well, and Jesus turned around, yes, you're blessed because you get to do that, but really blessed are the people that have not seen and have not touched me, but yet believe. Why are they so much even more blessed than the Apostle Thomas? Because they, by faith, have believed. So they are counted even greater, and because of the greater faith that they have used. Well, Thomas went on, and he did some mighty miracles too. He went clear over to India, and he died over there, martyred there, but did miracles. So he did believe, and in that mighty God, which is Jesus Christ, and that mighty God loves you. And wants you to come along. To come along with him, there's going to be a lot of good, but there's going to be some things that might be bad. Might even cost you your life. But he's already laid down his life for you and bought a way that you would be forgiven of all your sins. And your life is well worth it. When it's in his hands, because he's going to do the best for you. He's going to allow you to fit into his plans if you hunger and desire to do that. And the joy of the Lord, the Bible says, will be your strength. If you are weak, you need Jesus. You need him as your Lord and Savior so you can have joy, have the joy of the Lord in your life. And this is the time of year, especially, I mean, all year long, it's the time of year to do that. But this is Easter time. It's a great time that your life be resurrected, that you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this very day, this very minute, and that your life might be changed radically, that it's that you might be delivered. You know, there's so many people that come to the Lord, some of them, there's a very gradual change. Others, there will be radical things that will happen that will change all at once, and other things take years. Some people are just instantly set free from dope or cocaine or various types of addictions, and but they might take years to be delivered from cigarettes. It's, you know, God comes in and does miraculous things in a person's life, and that's because he loves you. He loves you, and he wants you blessed, and he wants his salvation, every type of salvation. See, salvation is in the Bible, it's often the same word as for healing, and it's the same Greek word most of the time. And sometimes the translators will translate it as healing, sometimes as salvation. But it's talking about from here to eternity, but it's also talking about the salvation as far as you, if you need to be delivered from something, you need salvation there. You need to be delivered from it. That is your salvation for that thing. Or you might be in sickness of some kind. You need salvation there. Maybe you need salvation in marriage or relationships. God has it all. Now you can't force your will on somebody else, but you can certainly you can turn around and start praying for them and blessing them. Declare blessings over people. You know, that's how the whole world was created, was by Jesus Christ before the creation, stepping out and speaking the will of the Father. And everything was created. It says, without him was nothing created that was created. So, we want to get in union with the one that created us. We don't want to be on the outside looking in. We want to be on the inside looking out from his perspective. And it's time that you and I really do that. Let's go on. It says, we started in here, verse 5, and we'll, I think I read that, but I'll read that verse again. It says, but now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asked me where you are going. But because I have said these things, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper, or the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you the things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he will take of mine and declare it to you. So you see, what is happening here is that several times earlier that Jesus declared to people, I do not do anything except what I see and hear the Father do. So Jesus, the miracles he did, what he spoke, were the words of God. Also, when Philip asked him at the Last Supper, show us the Father, he said, Philip, how long have I been with you that you do not realize that if you've seen me, Jesus, you have seen the Father? You see, because he was always doing exactly what the Father said and wanted him to say and to do. So, you see, Jesus and the Father don't have separate personalities. They're separate, but one doesn't desire one thing and the other desire another thing. Jesus' desire is to glorify the Father. The Holy Spirit's desire is to glorify Jesus. And so we see here that all things that the Father has are mine. So he's saying, they're mine. He's saying, and therefore I said that he will take of mine, talking about the Holy Spirit, and declare it unto you. See, that's the way we get in relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ, is through the Holy Spirit. See, that also declares in the Bible that the only way we can come to God is to worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, who's truth? We know that Jesus was the fullness of truth. He was full of grace and full of truth. And when it declares that, it declares it in one verse, and two or three verses again later, it just declares it all over again, that he came in fullness of grace and truth. And so that's how you can, the only way you can worship God the Father. I mean, so many times you think you're worshiping him, and it's you're worshiping your idea of him. But the way we need to worship him is through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is the one that when we've asked Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, that the Holy Spirit then will come in. And then if you hunger and thirst after him all the more, then you don't just receive the Holy Spirit, but then you ask to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you're likely to speak in other tongues that you do not know. Don't be afraid of it. It's it's something you're doing yourself. You're speaking, but the utterance is not coming from you. It's coming from God. It's coming from the Holy Spirit. When I speak in tongues, that it says that in the Bible that you'll speak in the tongues of men and of angels. Sometimes people are speaking in the tongues of men so other people can understand it, and sometimes they speak in the tongues of angels. It's purely this. It's used two different ways. It's used in the church to bring edification, also declaration to non-believers there, that when it's interpreted or that it happens to be in a tongue that the visiting person happens to know, all of a sudden they realize that these people don't know this language, but they do, and they and are convicted by the Holy Spirit, and they come to the Lord, or they're healed, or some miraculous thing happens. Now, there's another time for praying in the Holy Spirit. It says that we are supposed to pray with our understanding and pray with the Spirit. It says that we are supposed to sing with our understanding and sing in the Spirit. So what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to pray for you in what is called the Holy Spirit. And I don't know what I'm praying, but the Bible says that the Holy Spirit prays through me according to the perfect will of God. Well, the perfect will of God, I know for you, is not going to be evil. It's going to be to you for good. So I'm going to pray right now, and I don't know what I'm saying, but I'm going to pray because I know it's going to be the perfect will of God for you.
Mi dipoto bolšnina, badasi mi kamo nomo kuti kan li babi na tabutu. I shaman mi nama ki nama nata masuma di bi ma ki nama ka li apete li hanya di shumate le kiri shumoto bosin ma kuranda di shni sa mara da ba kurande. Ba mo kama hunabiti ma tutumati le shumoto sumo kotante. Bless you. Bless you, bless you, bless you. What did I say? I don't know, but I know the Holy Spirit prayed through me. And I don't remember that he's prayed through me in that language before. That's a different language than he usually prays through me. But I know that he loves you, that he has a great plan for your life. But that great plan isn't going to come to you unless you come and ask him to be your Lord and Savior. So I just desire for that so much, because that's how the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ are going to come in you, and that's how you're going to be, so that you won't be come under judgment. The only reason you come under judgment is because you don't accept the one God has sent to save you, which is Jesus Christ. He's the one that he has sent you so that you might be united and come to your Creator. Blessings on you. I declare blessings on you, that the power of God might come in you, that your heart might open to the love and the all the fantastic love that he has towards you. It says here again, I'm going to read this again. It says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot hear them now. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it unto you. Well, it seems like our time is up, and I'm sorry for that. We really didn't get really up to the so much here as far as the so many of these chapters here. It really, I would encourage you to get the Bible if you don't have one, to go to the Gospel of John. I've just been reading from chapter 15 and halfway through chapter 16, and just continue on there for the next few chapters, and you're basically going from a place that what Jesus is telling his disciples, then he prays to his Heavenly Father, and then prays to his Heavenly Father about us. Then he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, is betrayed, and goes before the high priest. His own one disciple turns him in as far as betrays him. Another disciple, Peter, who's a whole church, the whole Catholic Church says that they are founded on him because he's called the rock. Jesus called him the rock. Well, of course, Jesus is the true foundation, but Peter denies him three times. But we just continue on, and we see the beatings he took, and the soldiers mock him, and Pilate's decision, and yet Pilate says, I don't find fault in this man. Well, there's no reason to put him to death. And when he finally is sent to death, he washes his hands of the whole thing, and then puts a sign on the cross. It says, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, and he has it written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin, declaring him to be the King of the Jews. And the priest that were trying to get him killed and had him basically crucified, they're saying, oh, don't do that. Don't do that. Just say that he said he was the King of the Jews. And then Pilate said, no. What I've written, I've written.
And so he's declaring him, Pilate's declaring him the king of the Jews. It goes on, and in here, you see, John happens to be the one disciple that's there at the crucifixion. The others, we don't know where they are. We know most of them are probably hiding, but we know that John happened to be there, and Jesus entrusted his own mother to him for the rest of her life. Now, Jesus had other half-brothers and half-sisters, about, I don't forget how many, but there's probably 6, 7, 8, 9 of them. And so there's all these half-brothers and half-sisters that were the children of Joseph and Mary. And he's only the only one that's just of Mary and the Holy Spirit. And he didn't entrust his mother to the natural flesh, but to John the Apostle, who wrote this book. And so it tells briefly about that here. And then the last things he says on the cross, that it's finished, because he's finished everything that needs to be for you to be saved. The only thing left is for you to accept those things he's done and ask him to come into your heart. You need to do that right now. You ask him, say this, repeat this after me. Father, forgive my sins. Go ahead, say that. Say it out loud. Father, forgive my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Thank you for saving me. If you just believe that and pray that, then Jesus now is in your heart. And your life has changed. It says, the Bible declares that you are in a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now this is a declaration that as far as eternity, you're all new. But now comes the changing. The Holy Spirit comes in, and you just need to pray for Jesus to not just have the Holy Spirit in you, but to baptize you in the Holy Spirit to such a place that overflows your life, and that the Holy Spirit will come in and teach you and change you. It says that he will come in and change you from glory to glory into the image of Jesus Christ, into the image of your Creator. If you're in the image of your Creator, you're never going to be separated from God, because you're in the image of him. And he's going to take those that do not deny him, that confess him. If we confess him before men, he will confess us before his Heavenly Father. If we deny him before men, he will deny us. So even if you have denied him, or do again, remember to turn around and say, I spoke wrongly, that no, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Some people have to do that to the point of death. But we're all going to die anyway. So live long and prosper. Prosper in the name of Jesus Christ. The way you're going to prosper the most is to have the Holy Spirit in you and guiding you and teaching you. You need to get into the Word of God. Ask him to make the Word of God alive to you. We go on in the Bible, and it says, talks about him being killed, his crucifixion, him being put in the tomb, then Easter sunrise, the tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. That he is then seen by people. He is seen by various people that day. By the evening, he's seen by all the disciples except for Thomas. And so the next week, he's seen by Thomas as well. And then he sees them over in Galilee. So both in Jerusalem and Galilee. It says in the Bible that also at one time over 500 people saw him. Not only that, but it says that there was countless, as far as hundreds of people that were raised from the dead. It wasn't just Jesus that was raised from the dead. People that had died recently, even many years before, were raised from the dead. All those that had the hope, that were righteous people, that were had the hope of Jesus in the coming Messiah. Also those who had known Jesus and believed on him and died the year or two before. They rose from the dead. We're walking about Jerusalem. There's recorded in history of two of the, even the Pharisees had died and came back. Now, the Pharisees that died that didn't believe in Jesus being the Lord, they didn't resurrect. They didn't come back alive because they are coming back at a later time when judgment comes. But you don't want to be in that resurrection. The resurrection for judgment. You want to be in the resurrection, the first one, where Jesus comes and he receives his own. And I trust you ask him to come into your heart tonight, if you never have before. So at the end of this chapter, it's then declares that I'm the one that's the beloved, basically, disciple, and that I've been telling you all these things, and I have seen these things from the very beginning, and he declares openly those things that Jesus has spoken. And then Jesus, during that last time, while he was raised from the dead and was speaking to people, says, talks about to Jesus, he restores Peter. Jesus restores Peter, who had denied him three times, and commissions him. And so it's a great book, that's a way that the Holy Spirit might lead you into a much closer relationship with your Creator. God bless you. Father, in Jesus' name, we just pray for every one of these people, that their lives might be dramatically changed this very day, that this might truly be a, not just the old term that came from Easter, which is not really a good term at all, but it's really, truly Resurrection Day. Resurrection Day. Yeah, that's what the real Easter is. It's resurrection. Resurrection of our Lord and Savior, and because he was resurrected, that's only because he was resurrected, that's why we can be made resurrected and with him and come to know our God and no longer be separated from God, but to know him as our Heavenly Father, to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and that to also come to know the Holy Spirit, our loving Comforter and Helper that comes alongside to teach us and draw us ever closer to our Lord, and to change us from glory to glory into the image of Jesus Christ. God bless you. My name is Dr. Don Cowan. I'm coming to you from the Yakima Indian Reservation in South Central Washington State. My address is P.O. Box 90, Parker, P-A-R-K-E-R, Washington, 98939. If you ask Jesus to come into your Lord, into your life, write me, and I'll send you a couple of books as long as I've got them, and I've got quite a few right now. And if you be sure to say that, I mean, if you're writing in for a free book, that's fine. If you say that you accepted Jesus for the first time, then I will send you another book as well. That will be a big help to you. And so, blessings on you. Address again is Dr. Don Cowan, Global Redeeming Ministries. You don't have to have all that. You can just put Don Cowan, Dr. Don Cowan, or Global Redeeming Ministries, either one. If you want to send a donation, then send it to Global Redeeming Ministries. And the address is P.O. Box 90, Parker, Washington, 98939. Have a blessed Resurrection Day tomorrow. And God bless you. Good night. And I just pray that you fully let him into your life and that he heals you in every area of your life. Most of all, your relationship with him. But then also, if you need physical touch in your body, ask for it in Jesus' name. And he is a good God. I've seen many, many miracles. And he wants to, he says that he rewards those who seek him diligently. Do that. Seek him diligently. He will reward you. God bless you. Good night.